Hello, and thank you so much for being here to learn about Bitachon today. It is the 8th of Kislev, Ches Kislev, Tafshin Pei Daled, November 21st, 2023. And we're continuing looking at a Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. And this Pasuk was quoted by the Mesillas Yesharim as a tremendous amount of value for Bitachon. Bitach Bashem, trust in Hashem, Basei Tov, and do good. So we were explaining the juxtaposition of these phrases. And there's a sefer called the Chomas Anach in this special Tehillim that I have, who says the following. Efshar, it's very possible to explain, B'masha kasuv b'zohar ha-kadosh. It's written in the Zohar. She'yaseh tzedakah, that we're being urged to do charity, to give generously tzedakah. B'lo yomar, and a person should not say, Im etein zeh ma ochal lemachar. If I give this tzedakah, what will I eat tomorrow? Tomorrow! It says in this pasuk, no, betach b'Hashem, trust in Hashem, basei tov, and do good. Don't hold back from doing good because you're hesitant, because you're anxious about what you're going to eat tomorrow. You won't have enough money tomorrow. No! It says betach b'Hashem, and then it says asei tov, go ahead. Take the step. Give the tzedakah. Zeu she'amar, and this is what it said, B'tach b'Hashem, trust in Hashem, shehu yitein lemachar, that he will give tomorrow, ma she'ata tzorich, what you need. That is Hashem's department. I'm here now today. Right now I need to give tzedakah. So what I need to do is activate bitachon powers. B'tach b'Hashem, basei tov. Do the mitzvah of giving that tzedakah, and don't think about tomorrow. Basei tov, ata, do the good right now. So to a degree, we are having to live in the present. At this moment, I am able to do this. I have the money to give the tzedakah. Then it says, v'tach b'Hashem, trust in Hashem, and give that tzedakah. Shechon Eretz, remember that part of the pasuk? Dwell on the land. He's here. David HaMelech exhorted, he urged us, Aho Anava, about humility. What does it mean, dwelling in the land? Keep a low profile. Don't feel superior to others and think that we need publicity. We need public recognition. No. Now, a shame tov is one thing. It says in Maseches Avos, based on Koheles, tov shame, bishem and tov. A shame, a good reputation, that's something we're supposed to strive for. That means among those with whom we interact, we're supposed to have a positive reputation as a good person. But fame, kavod, that's not something we're supposed to look for. We're supposed to have anava. We know the Mesillas Yesharim discusses different facets and aspects of anava, of humility. This is definitely an ingredient when it comes to bitachon. Because if I have bitachon, I'm able to do shchon eretz. I'm able to live closer to the land, to the ground, which means, as we said before, to not look for recognition and publicity. Shegiyah anav me'od, that a person should be exceedingly humble. V'nafsho ka'ofar tiyeh. As we say in Shmoneh Esrei, a person's self should be like offer. Now, one explanation is indestructible, meaning that it shouldn't hurt me when people don't give me kavod. It should be like a grain of sand, which is not possible to destroy. But also, it's the stance, the profile that I keep should be on the lower side. I'm not supposed to be looking for recognition. And if a person does adopt such an attitude, the person becomes like a chariot, a vehicle for Hashem's presence in the world, because we know that Hashem says, I, Kaviyachol, gravitate toward those who are humble. That's Shechon Eretz. It's a new twist on dwelling in the land, which means being closer to the land figuratively, being lower, not looking to be recognized and to be superior to others. And just to mention a few recollections from the Mesillas Yesharim, he tells us, how does a person express anava? What are signs of anava? Kalo kavod lakol. It's showing respect to everybody. Duvol hoel bonos. Being able to absorb to endure some disgrace that is inevitable in life. Not everybody always will be respectful or acknowledge me the way that maybe is appropriate. But if I can handle that, I can endure that and move on and trust in Hashem. Hashem is my sustenance. I don't need people to give me that gratification of fame, recognition, and compliments. Of course, everybody does need to be acknowledged and hopefully complimented appropriately. Well, I'm not supposed to look for that, nor am I supposed to try to be superior to others. That's Shechon Eretz. Dwell in the land and be like Ofer. Benafshi ka'ofer l'kol tiyeh. In Shemon Esrei, what I think is, my favorite part is, that I should be like that grain of sand that's indestructible, that I'm not movable from Abitachon and Emuna, besides the aspect of humility, which is like Ofer. We're now going back into the text of the Mesilas Yesharim. And we are in the Perek about Chasidus, about piety or saintliness. And that happens to be Perek Chaf Aleph. It is the second place in the Sefer that he focuses on Bitachon. You might remember that we talked about Bitachon in the Mesilas Yesharim way back in the Perek about Drizus, which was Perek Tes. That's when he discusses Bitachon for the first time, because he said that when a person is full of fear and apprehension and anxiety, then the person will end up not performing Avodas Hashem properly. And it's intertwined with laziness, but they feed off of each other. And when the person is not lazy, the person is enthusiastic, the person is efficient and consistent in Avodas Hashem, the person is definitely employing the strategy of Bitachon, to be able to take that course in life. And that was his approach back in the ninth parak in the Mesilas Yesharim, when he talked about Zerizus, quickness, alacrity, and enthusiasm. And now we're going to talk about Chasidus. Much later in the Sefer, it comes up again, this inyan of Bitachon. And it's almost the more direct discussion, really, and when we hear his terminology. It says the Mesilas Yesharim, what are some deterrence to Chasidus. And you might be aware that Chasidus is when a person goes beyond the letter of the law. Does Lifnei Mishurat Hadin? What hinders a person from being able to reach that lofty level of doing things more than what's required, even? Which is a very desirable goal, not always attainable to people. And the Mesilas Yesharim himself actually acknowledges that it isn't for everybody to be in that level of chassidus, doing beyond the letter of the law, because halavai, if only we'll be able to do what we're supposed to do, not necessarily are we going to be able to do beyond that, but we have to learn about it, because there will be areas of life where we do go beyond the letter of the law, lifnei mishuras hadin, a.k.a. chassidus. So the Mesilas Yesharim says in the ninth parak, sorry, that was about Jesus in the ninth parak. Now we're going to talk about chassidus and its relationship with Bitachon. And this is Perek Chaf Aleph, 21st Perek of Mesilas Yesharim. In that Perek, he says, Ach mafsideh ha-chassidus. But the obstacles, the deterrents to chassidus, to becoming a pious person who's extra close to Hashem, and matrados ve-hadagos. They are the distractions and worries. So here, he's hitting it head on. He's telling us that when a person is full of worries, the person will not be able to climb the rungs of the ladder of Avodas Hashem to become a chassid, to get really close to Hashem. Ki b'hiyos ha-seichel tarud v'nechpaz. Because when the person's intellect is distracted, pressured, rushed, the word chippazon, we know it, uses it in the Torah about when we left Mitzrayim. Ki b'chippazon yatzasa me'eret Mitzrayim. It's a lesson of haste, rushing. When a person is full of anxiety, it goes together with feeling rushed, pressured. When a person's intellect is distracted, and it's nechpaz, interesting usage of this word. It's pressured. It's pushed. Bedagosav, with its worries, with asakav, and its involvements. So by the way, I circled in my Sefer three terms that the Ramchal uses. He talks about terados, which are distractions. How many distractions there are, especially with technology today. Hadagos, those are worries. These are things that cause us to be anxious. And then he talks about asakim, all the things we're involved in that make us so busy. When we are sandwiched between all of that, E.F. Sherlo, Lafanos El Hayisponenus Hazeh. It is impossible for that person to turn toward this reflection and contemplation that a person needs to become close to Hashem. So let's digest this. If a person is distracted and worried and too busy, then the person cannot focus properly on Avodas Hashem. Because for Avodas Hashem, we need Hisboninus, which is a lashon of reflection, contemplation, analysis in our minds. But if our minds are full of worries and distractions, then there's no place to reflect on Avodas Hashem. I like to use the muscle of like when the space in a memory is like used up. It's like it's capacity. So what happens is it's overfilled with worries, and then there's no place for the proper contemplation. Umiblihi sponinus, says the Mesillas Yesharim. You know how they use the expression, your storage is almost full. The Mesillas Yesharim says that if my storage area, if my memory, if my intellect, if my brain and emotions are preoccupied with worries and distractions, then I cannot reach Hisponinus. I'm not able to analyze and think about Avodas Hashem. And without that type of analysis and introspection, lo yasik hachasidus, the person will not be able to attain piety and closeness to Hashem. It's a very simple formula. My intellect is limited, how much it can encompass at once. So if my emotions and mind are focused on what's worrying me and frightening me, then that will deter me from Avodas Hashem. Afilo nisigo kavar. And even if a person already did reach the level of hisponinus, that the person is reflecting and is involved in introspection, hinei hatrados, behold the distractions, ma'avrichos es haseichel, they chase away the positive reasoning that's in a person's intellect. This text says ma'avrichos, like boreach, like running away or fleeing, but it's the causative. It causes the upright, straight, logical reasoning to flee. It chases it away because my head is full of fears and worries and distractions. And they also confuse the person. They mix up the person and the person's intellect. They don't allow the person to become strong, the yira uve abba, in fear of Hashem and love of Hashem, ushar ha'inyanim hashayachim el hachasidus, and everything else that has to do with piety and closeness to Hashem, kasher zacharti, as I've mentioned. So as we're being told, I have to stop and say, what is my head filled with right now? When I wake up in the morning and as I go through the day, what am I thinking about? Am I worried and distracted? Well, then that won't leave enough room in my head and in my thoughts to focus on Avodas Hashem properly. And I know, I bet you're thinking the same as I am, that very close to the beginning of this Sefer, the Mesillas Yesharim said that about Paro. Paro is the embodiment of what the Yetzirah is to us, constantly forcing us to be preoccupied with everything but what we should be thinking about, so that we don't think about Torah and mitzvot. So this lashon that he says is mavrichos, that the worries, and by the way, the terms that he uses are dagos and trados, worries and distractions. And it says those are mavrichos, they chase away. It's like if you personify it, look at, there's a seichel, and then there's worries. The worries are chasing it, chasing away that line of thinking, that ability to reason properly. But there's a different text. If you look in the Eshkol version of the Mesillas Yesharim, it doesn't say mavrichos. It says machrichos. Machrichos is a language of forcing or compelling. What does that mean? That means that the worries that a person has and the distractions that the person allows to infiltrate his or her way of thinking and his mind, they force, like pushing against the wall, the person's intellect. There's the seichel, which is the reasoning and the logical way of thinking, and then there are the worries. The worries, if we allow them to invade, then they will machriach, they will compel, meaning they'll push against the wall that reasoning that I am supposed to have in order for me to be close to Hashem. So they could both be true, both text versions, mavrichos and machrichos. So just to capsulize that and move on, if I allow worry to dominate my life, so then I won't be able to think straight. That is what Maseilas Yesharim is saying. And I don't know about you, but I want to go through life. I want to maximize my experience here. I want to capitalize on the opportunity that I have here. And I want to think straight. I want to think logically. So I will do what I can to work through those things that worry me and frighten me and distract me, and to realize that it's not worthy of occupying space in my mind. My mind should be free to focus on what's important, and that is getting close to Hashem and being a good person to my spouse, to my family, to my community, to Klal Yisrael, but not to be worried and preoccupied with my fears and worries. Maseilas Yesharim continues, Al-Kain Amru Zichronam Yivracha. Therefore, the Chazal said in Shabbos Daf Lamed, Ein Hashchina Shora, the divine presence does not dwell. Lo mitoch atzlus, lo mitoch atzlus. He doesn't bring the whole Gemara now. But sadness, depression, we don't find the Shechina dwelling with sadness and depression. That's not where the Shechina, Hashem's presence, gravitates toward. Not from laziness. No, only mitoch simcha shel mitzvah. It's mitzvah joy. In fact, today in Chumash class, we learned the pasuk about Miriam. And I want to quote you what the Ger Rebbe says about it in the Sfas Emes. We're learning about Oz Yashir. Right after song was completed, it says, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviyah Achos Aaron Es HaTof Biyada. The Nashim Sidkanios, the righteous women who are a beacon of light for all generations in whose Zechus we left Mitzrayim, Gemara Sota says, Miriam was at their head and she took the drum or the tambourine as Hatof B'yadah. And the women went out after her. And it says, Vatan Lahem Miriam. By the way, it says Lahem with the men. Miriam answered to them. Sometimes Vatan could mean just to lift one's voice. But here, as the Litzke Rav explains, Vatan Lahem. Miriam answered to the men. What is that supposed to mean? As he explains, it says further, she told the women, Shiru Lashem in the command form. Sing to Hashem. What was going on? What do you mean she responded to the men? Chas v'shalom, they weren't singing together. They certainly were not singing responsibly. That, the Gemara says, when people were singing responsibly, men and women, that's a very serious problem in halacha, kol isha, and mixing men and women. But when it says vatan lahem, she was expressing her endorsement, her haskoma, to what the men had done, because she was one of the three leaders of the generation. It says Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam are the three shepherds. It says in Treyaser, I stand before you, Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, to lead the generation. And she was leading of the women. So Vatan Lahem Miriam, and Miriam responded to them in the masculine form, to the men, as the Aznai in the Torah explains, showing the women that, yes, this is what we should do. So in response to them, to the men, Vatan Lahem, she was giving a haskama. She was agreeing that this should be done by the women also. But the pasuk before said, he took as ha-tof b'yadah, the drum, the tambourine. And yes, you're thinking of the Rashi that brings from Chazal about the women, the righteous women, were positive there would be miracles. This is what the proper attitude of bitachon and emunah is all about. It's not maybe there'll be miracles. It's not maybe Mashiach's going to come. It's not maybe we'll see a salvation. Of course we're going to. It's just a question of when. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But why does it say the tambourine, the drum? That's because every prophet and prophetess had a musical instrument at hand. Because there's no nevuah, there's no divine inspiration and intuition and communication without simcha. That's why they have to have the musical instrument ready to play at the time that nevuah, that prophecy, has to be transmitted. You know, with Elisha also, he said, "Kechuli menagen, get a musician." There had to be music in order for him to be in the right frame of mind for nevuah. Sometimes people think, oh, a prophet, a Navi, he's always in a state of prophecy. He's always seeing and knowing everything. It's totally not true. There are ups and downs with people's emotions, even the Naviim. If they're not in the right frame of mind, if they're either upset or distracted, maybe even depressed at their level, they need to have nevuah to be put back in the proper mode, in the proper thinking. And that's through music. So this is what this Gemara is saying in Shabbos. The Shekhinah only dwells, not from sadness, not in the mood of laziness, but only with simcha. So the Masilas Hasharim is telling us, to become a chassid, we need to draw the Shekhinah toward ourselves. But that won't happen if we're worried and distracted. Is there anybody who's not interested in Hashras HaShekhinah? We all want the Shekhinah. We all want to dwell with Hashem in our midst. As we quoted in the beginning of today, a person becomes a merkava l'shechinah, a chariot, a vehicle, a place where the Shekhinah kaviyachol feels welcome. The mood for that is simcha shel mitzvah. It's only through joy. And we've quoted the Gemara Erechin many times that there needs to be music in our lives. There has to be singing on Shabbos for sure. Without it, our avodas Hashem isn't even complete. Sometimes we have to have real music and singing. The Masilas Yesharim continues. So, if we have this dilemma, that when a person is distracted with trados, those are distractions, dagos, worries, and asakim, other things that cause us to be so involved and preoccupied, we're not able to reach chassidus, how do we save ourselves from those deterrents, from those obstacles? Guess what? You got it. Omnam. Indeed, Mashe Yuchal Lishmar Es HaAdam, what could protect a person, Ulatzilo, and to save him, Min HaMafsidim HaEle, from these deterrents and obstructions to Chasidus, to being close to Hashem, Hu Abitachon, says the Masilas Yesharim. It's trusting in Hashem. But, as is his style, he defined it. There needs to be a definition. Well, what exactly is this elusive term, bitachon? What is bitachon? Here comes the grand definition in the Masilas Yesharim. What if I would ask you, I believe this is number 73, B'lei Ayin Hara, of the Vad series. How would you define bitachon? Masilas Yesharim gives us his definition. Behu, and that is, sheyashlich, that he should cast, Yahavo, his burden, al Hashem, on Hashem, legamrei, totally. I wrote myself a note based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nunhei, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, which is, Hashtech al Hashem, Yahavacha, send your burden on Hashem, whatever is too much for you, put it on Hashem, v'hu yichal kolecha, he will sustain you, he'll see you through, he'll take care of you. So the Masilas Yesharim, I put a double underline here because we know that he's very brief. The Masilas Yesharim is concise, not verbose at all, doesn't waste one word, doesn't waste one dot of ink. So he gives us the definition of bitachon. This is the nucleus of the whole bitachon vat. The definition of bitachon in one phrase, v'hu shayashlich yahavo al Hashem legamrei. There are things that are beyond my ability to take care of. That person, every person, needs to send, to cast, to hurl his burden on Hashem totally. And it reminds me that that pasuk in Tehillim, Nun Hei, Chaf Gimel, it says, Hashlech al Hashem Yahavacha. It ends with the Chaf, Hashlacha. And I've also told you that if you look in Maseches Tamid, in the commentary, in the Gemara and Tamid, the Mefarish, he says that Kim Lehula Rabbanan, we have a tradition, Torah Shabbat Peh, that Hashlacha, when you send something, when you hurl it, It's 20 amos. It's at least 35, 40 feet away. In many legal cases, this comes up. It has to do with sukkah, has to do with mavoi, has to do with menorah, has to do with the karbanos, with the crop of a carbon oaf, the bird offering. Many examples in halacha. But perhaps, and I heard, by the way, from my Rebbe Yeshiva, Rabbi Resnick, he said, many rules that apply in halacha also apply in hashkafa. Many ideas. And it could be the same. Hashlacha, in David HaMelech's words, to cast your burden on Hashem, cast it far from you. Perhaps you could go ahead and utilize that rule of the Mefarish in the Gemara Tamid, that hashlacha is when you toss it far away, you hurl it, kaviyachol, into Hashem's arms, into Hashem's lap to take care of the things that are too much for me. Why should I agonize over what's too much for me? I can't do anything about it. It's beyond my abilities. And part of life, a lot of it is like that. So what do I do with it? I should cast it, and not just cast it onto Hashem, far away. Now, what is the advantage of hurling my burden far from me onto Hashem? Because it is not mine at all. It's not for me to worry about or take care of. The only way to get into that proper mindset is to be masachit with a chaf, hashlacha, far away from myself, onto Hashem, and I should disassociate myself from it. Don't be preoccupied with it. That's what bitachon is all about. Without doing that, I'm still connected to it. I'm still worried about it. Oh yeah, I'm somehow attached to that still. Oh, parnasa, I'm doing the best I can. I'm still worried about parnasa. You've done enough ishtadlus, and we're going to talk about ishtadlus more as the weeks pass, but I can't do better, let's say. Let's say I'm really doing all that I can. If I seem to still not have enough money, that's Hashem Yahavakabuhuyakalecha. I have to hurl, I have to toss that onto Hashem, detach myself from it, and move on with life, with my Avodas Hashem, the things that I am able to control, what I'm able to accomplish. Then I can have a successful life. Otherwise, I have what the Maseiros Yesharim defined as Trados, Daigos, and Asakim, all different types of distractions, worries, and involvements, preoccupations that I really can't even do anything about. How does a person reach this? Maseiros Yesharim says, Basher Yeda, that a person will know and be aware, and we're going to be ending on this beautiful, lofty thought, Kivadai, that it's definite. I Efshar Sheyechsar La Adam, it is impossible that it will be missing for a person. It's impossible that a person won't have Mashenik Tzavlo, what has been set for him. That means it's definite that he will have it. If Hashem wants me to have that amount of money, if Hashem wants me to have that relationship working that way, if Hashem wants my children to be doing a certain thing, acting a certain way, if Hashem wants it that I should be healthy, that's going to be up to Hashem, whatever I can't control, whatever my ishtadlus doesn't seem to change. It's all up to Hashem. And that's the essence of Yashlich Yahavo al Hashem Legamre. The person should cast his burden on Hashem totally. We do that, we emancipate ourselves from those worries and those distractions. And Emir Hashem will continue next week elaborating on the same thought in the Perek about Chassidus. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for joining us.